Hello, you're with All in the Mind on RN. Lynne Malcolm with you. Today, a musical recovery. That's Edwyn Collins, singer-songwriter of the Scottish indie rock band of the 1980s called Orange Juice. A Girl Like You became an international smash hit in 1994. But when he was in his mid-40s, Edwyn Collins was stopped in his tracks.
I was suffering headaches and depression and, what is it, Grace, I said.
Yeah, you were more irritable
yes.
than normal. I think it's very easy to see the signs in retrospect, but you don't see them.
So tell me about what happened that day.
Yes, it was a Sunday in February and Edwyn was preparing dinner for us and I'd left my car at a party we'd been at the night before and it wasn't very far away and I said, can you hold on while I nip over and collect the car? And Edwyn said, well, don't be long, dinner will be ready in 15 minutes. And when I came back, I smelled a burning smell as soon as I came in the door and thought, no sign of him. And just had a sense of alarm and ran upstairs and found him on the floor. And he was in a semi-conscious state and I've never seen a stroke before, but I thought he's had a stroke. And that was when it all began.
Grace Maxwell, Edwyn Collins' wife and manager, remembering the day in 2005 when the music stopped. But as we'll hear in this inspiring story, love, music and hard work opened up endless possibilities for them. Edwyn suffered two cerebral hemorrhages or strokes, which left him in a coma. When he emerged, things were very different. He couldn't move his right side, and he suffered from aphasia, the inability to use or remember language.
My speech is hesitant at first, and no words formed. But I said back in hospital, what happened to me? A brain hemorrhage? Surely not.
You couldn't talk to me
words yet
for a very long time. I mean, many weeks. Edwyn's speech had more or less completely gone.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, a few weeks down the line, I would come onto the ward and he would say, Grace Maxwell. And I would shake his hand and go, yeah, pleased to meet you, Edwyn Collins. And he would get stuck on a phrase. He would say yes and no. But he would almost always say yes when he meant no and no when he meant yes.
Yeah.
And he would get stuck on a phrase. And for a long time, one of them was, the possibilities are endless. And every time he opened his mouth out would come this phrase, the possibilities are endless, which sounds terribly...
Profound.
You know, profound.
Profound. Yeah. Well, as it turned out, it seems that possibilities are endless.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
At the time, it was driving you mad, wasn't
yeah.
it? You could see nothing else.
I know.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't read, you couldn't write.
Yes.
You were paralysed all down your right side.
Yes.
What hope did the medical profession give you immediately after you fell ill?
Some kind of hope. But Grace realised that at the time, my stroke, and I didn't.
They were pretty negative, and I think a lot of them do that as a sort of, they think that it's good to prepare you for the worst.
Yeah.
I actually have a little bit of an issue with this, because I think it particularly to do with matters
go
of...
Go on, Grace.
Yes, the brain. It's a foolish person that predicts what somebody's long-term outcome will be from a brain injury and recovery, and also what the nature of quality of life is. So the smart people, I think, say just work as hard as you can and see what happens, and don't make predictions. I didn't find it helpful when people were making rather negative predictions for Edwyn's outcome and trying to sort of forewarn me, and, you know, I didn't want to see these people again. I had no use for them.
So you decided both to make up your own story.
That's right.
And you didn't give up. Tell me about the intensive therapy that ensued.
Well, Edwin had therapy in hospital. He went, moved to a rehab unit for 3 months. And a degree of success there, he was able to walk when he left hospital.
But his, just about.
Yeah, your thing's always been speech and language, hasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
When he came home from hospital, we set about our own thing.
Task, yeah.
And he had neurophysiotherapy 3 times a week.
Yes.
And he had speech and language therapy 3 times a week. Yeah, Edwin's life hung in the balance, and they told me they had a bit of a debate as to whether it was there was any point, and I'm very glad they made the decision they did.
Because of his brain injury, Edwin Collins had forgotten all of the songs he had written before his illness and how to play music. But he was determined not to leave it at that. At what point did you decide that you were going to perform music again?
Grace, my wife, pushed me to do it. But I'm grateful to Grace. Yeah, you never know, Edwin. Come on, push yourself. And I did, and Grace is wonderful.
It wasn't so much the idea of performing again for me, it was the recovery of language, you know, and turned out to be that his music was a route back to language
yes.
and to confidence. And
asserting myself, I think.
Yeah.
I was then frightened at first, terribly agitated, so scared, and I'm confident now.
And the music must have been such a strong motivator for you.
Yeah.
What role do you think it's played in your overall recovery?
It's my life. Music is a gift, and music helps me, and music is wonderful.
You had to learn to read again.
Yeah.
You had to relearn the lyrics of the songs
yes.
that you'd written previously.
Well, yeah, yeah. I had a book to help me learn Falling and Laughing and A Girl Like You and Make Me Feel Again, Over Again, and I suppose Get On With It.
And was it easier to learn the words of songs that you knew before
yes.
than it was to learn new songs?
Yes. I remember the fourth single, Poor Old Soul, it's called, and have you been practicing?
I said to you,
yeah.
I heard you sing it, and I said, have you been practicing that on the quiet? You've been trying to. And at that point, I thought, well, okay, let's try another. And gradually, your repertoire has
yeah.
increased.
Yeah.
Grace, in your memoir, Falling and Laughing, you tell a lovely story of when you saw that Edwin was ready to write songs again in the middle of the night. Tell me
That's
about
right.
that.
That's right. Well, he woke me up and he says, write this down. And I think it was...
Losing Sleep.
Yes, I'm Losing Sleep. And we were, you know, off and running and the new record began, so... I think producing written language for a start has been the most difficult thing
yeah.
for you to recover. So coming up with lyrics for songs was astonishing to me to see that this was possible, because I'd been there for years through the sort of anatomy of this brain injury, and to see that such a thing was possible is completely fascinating. Yeah. Mm.
It's interesting, Edwin, that when you're performing,
yes.
there's no hesitation.
Yes.
When you're speaking, you still have some hesitation
yes,
at times.
Yes, I do.
And the concert that I saw you at, you referred to the aphasia, which is the difficulty with speech and language.
Yes, yes.
You're quite open about that.
Yeah, I am. During gigs, I'm open. I had a form of language, and I said during the gig, so what?
You're listening to All in the Mind on RN, Radio Australia, online and on your ABC mobile app. I'm Lynne Malcolm, and today we're hearing the inspiring story of the Scottish rock musician Edwyn Collins, who, after a series of strokes, looked like he would never recover his power of language, let alone his music. Now he's produced a new album and he's back to live performance. Dr. Jeanette Tamplin is a music therapist and has worked in neuro-rehabilitation for the past 15 years, using music to help people recover from brain injury, stroke and spinal cord injury.
I think one of the most amazing things about music is that it's really a whole brain activity. There's lots of cutting-edge research out there at the moment, neuroscience research, that shows that regular participation in music or singing can actually change the brain. So when we're singing or playing an instrument, we're using multiple networks in the brain. We're using our attention and concentration circuits. We're using our auditory processing, our sound networks. We're using language. We're using sensory and motor coordination. We're also using our emotion and reward centres, and also the higher executive functions, so things like planning and organising, and combining all this with creativity. So you can see when all of those things come together, it's actually a highly complex activity that we're using with the brain. Some people have suggested that maybe music lessons or being a musician or being active musically could actually act as a neuroprotective factor for people if they later in life have some kind of neurological impairment like a stroke or dementia or something like that.
So in your work, you use music therapy to help in stroke and brain injury recovery. It seems that language and music are connected in the brain. How do you use that connection between language and music to help in recovery?
Singing, although it shares lots of common networks with speech, so you're using a lot of the same physical processes, in some ways it's processed quite differently and more diffusely or more widely in the brain than language. So language tends to be localised more to the left hemisphere, the left temporal lobe, whereas singing is processed really across the whole brain. So we have this unique effect for some people after they've had a brain injury or a stroke where they are no longer able to access language or understand language. It's a condition called aphasia or dysphasia. And that means that it's really hard for them to string words together or to find names for things that they want to say. Because the way that they access words when they're singing, we can sometimes use a technique called melodic intonation therapy or another technique called musical speech stimulation. These are techniques that music therapists use when trying to get someone back into speech through singing. So gradually, with repeated practice, you can reduce the reliance on music and get some transference back to the capacity to speak through singing.
So I wonder if you could give me a case study of people that you've worked with where you've seen a real difference.
Yeah, I can give you an example of someone with aphasia who wasn't able to speak at all initially. And in early sessions of music therapy, we used a technique called musical speech stimulation where I would try and use really well-known songs that the patient would know and then leave the last word off. So it's almost this urgent need or automatic need to fill in that last word of the line of the song that you know so well. And for some reason, that automatic speech sometimes works with people who have aphasia, so we can start getting the words out. So once we can see that someone's actually able to achieve these words, I've used the melodic intonation therapy technique, so where we would try and teach someone phrases, put a phrase to music that's really emphasising the rhythm and the melody of natural speech, but putting it into music. So if you were saying, I'd like a glass of water, for example, you might say, I'd like a glass of water. And you really make sure that the rhythm and the melody sort of imitates and exaggerates the natural contour of speech. And then gradually you take away, so you'd just be chanting and you take the melody away and you go, I'd like a glass of water. And then you'd take away the strong rhythm and I'd like a glass of water. That would be the end aim. I've used that technique with many patients over the years. Some respond to it much better than others, but all that I've worked with so far have responded to it to some degree, even if it's just getting one word, using that phrase to get one word out, which might be water, and that can convey the message that they want a drink of water.
I'd just like to talk to you now about the case of Edwin Collins, the musician. In 2005, he suffered a series of strokes and brain hemorrhages, and he was left unable to speak and unable to walk. But he describes how he had to relearn how to speak, and he was motivated by his past musical background and managed to relearn the words to the songs that he'd written before he had the brain injury. The thing that I noticed with him when I saw him perform was that the words came out really smoothly, singing the songs, but when you speak to him, he still has a bit of difficulty with comprehension and expression of language.
Yeah, well, I think that comes back to the different processing. The way that he's processing words when he's singing them is different than when he has to try them just through his verbal language networks alone. So that's probably why it's a little bit maybe smoother and more natural when he's singing. I think the other thing to remember is that, you know, going back to that concept that music is a whole brain activity, there's a whole lot of other stuff that's going on with the words in the songs that he's written, because music is so closely connected with the emotion and memory and reward centres in the brain that there's a lot of that getting activated as well. So it's not just speech, functional speech. It's songs that he's written that are attached to memories and feelings. So that's probably helping him to access that as well.
And it also appears that his music was a route back to his language and also to his confidence and perhaps even his sense of himself, his self-identity.
Yeah, most of us have what we would call a musical identity, and that might relate to the music that we closely identify with or that we like to listen to. Adolescent researchers say that musical identity can develop strongly in adolescence, and that's how sometimes we differentiate ourselves from our peers and from our families, through our identity with the music that we like and all of the culture that comes with that. But it's interesting that in the face of a debilitating injury like a stroke or a spinal cord injury, a lot of physical changes that these people have to deal with that can affect them in so many different areas of their lives, socially, in their family, work roles. But this musical identity is something that's so core to ourselves that it's often a key element that remains in the face of all of these other physical changes. We're currently at the University of Melbourne doing a songwriting research project at the moment that looks specifically at writing songs with people to help them process these changes in identity, looking back from the past and then the present and then to the future, and how they integrate those changes in who they conceive themselves, how they were and who they will be. And the music is actually really vital in making that a meaningful process for them, because they, in addition to thinking about the process and putting words to that and making lyrics, the music that they put to that is a strong reflection of their sense of identity, and it makes the songs personally meaningful for them.
So overall, to what extent do you see that music can be the motivation for recovery from a brain injury?
I think it's a huge motivation. It's possibly one of the main reasons that we get referral for patients in music therapy. Rehabilitation is most of the time a long and arduous process, and it involves lots of repetition of really boring tasks in order to improve motor function or speech function. So I think the beauty of music therapy is that we can work on a lot of these goals through a medium that's actually rewarding and creative and interesting. Yeah, at the same time, it's almost like a sneaky way of doing therapy that's kind of fun, because people, you know, might do an African drumming group, which actually is quite tricky if you've got one hand that doesn't work very well and you're trying to play rhythms. But it's really motivating because you've got a group of people playing with you and you're trying to lock into rhythms, and it's a strong, strong motivation to reestablish those neural pathways that you use when you're participating in a rhythmic activity like drumming.
Dr. Jeanette Tamplin from the University of Melbourne. Scottish musician Edwin Collins had intensive rehabilitation after his brain hemorrhages, and he's now enjoying being back in the music scene, both writing and performing. But it's taken incredible determination and strength.
Yeah, I worked hard, I suppose, and Chris will help me, and it's a joy, actually, to get back the gigs and the music, and even the attention.
I'm sure. So there's a character trait, right? The attention seeking. he's also very stubborn. This sounds as attractive, isn't it? An attention seeking, stubborn person. But he's very single minded. When Edwin is focused on something, he has tunnel vision. I think there's another thing that's really helped him, and he's had this since ever I've known him, and that is he doesn't care what people think about him. It's all really for his own satisfaction. So that's meant that he's been able to put his aphasia out there in public for all to see, warts and all. And I think that's such a common thing, because a lot of people have strokes and half of them will be affected by loss of speech and language. And yet it's very ill understood and people aren't really familiar with it. It silences people and it makes them invisible. And, you know, Edwin is bucking that trend rather. Yeah, which is a good thing. It increases understanding of it.
Yeah. And what about you, Grace? You've shown incredible determination and strength too. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see any alternative. He is my work. We had a family. And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing properly, you know, do the job properly. And it's also strangely been a fascinating thing. I've said if it wasn't such a rotten thing to happen to somebody, you would be, you know, you can be quite fascinated.
Listen to me. At least I'm alive.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are lots and lots of people who have different degrees of ability to recover from this thing, you know. And I want to sort of guard against saying, oh, Edwin's achieved this because he's worked hard, because sometimes people could work as hard as they liked and they wouldn't be able to get this degree of recovery. Stroke's a funny thing. It comes in and the brain is, well, you know, there's a great...
You know musician Frankie Miller?
He's a friend of ours, and Frankie has aphasia too, doesn't he? But he has very few words, so he can't sing again. So you're blessed, aren't you?
Yes.
You really are.
Do you ever get depressed?
No. Grace does. Often.
I get grumpy. I don't really get depressed. I get a bit grumpy. But Edwin is incredible. He's no self-pity. No depression, no backward looking.
It's no need to be, my opinion, of course, depressed. Feeling actually wonderful.
So what are your aspirations for the future?
Get on with my work, new album to do, and everything's fine in the rose garden of romance.
Gorgeous.
I've got no idea what he's talking about.
Isn't it, Chris?
Dear me. But you like working, Edwin, don't you?
That's
the main thing. And I'm fancy early retirement, but it doesn't look as if
you can't.
I'm getting that option, really.
One thing that you're not able to do is to play the guitar. Do you miss that?
No, I can play the guitar, but the Memphis chords. In fact, it's on my new album, 21 Years.
21 Years.
Yes. Do, 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 do. It's simple. Memphis chords, it's called.
It's quite typical of Edwin to say, I can play the guitar, when what he's talking about is using his left hand to hammer on the neck. Of course, he can't use his right hand to do any of the fancy, tricky work that he used to do before. But it's perfectly typical of him to just say, oh, I can play. But he chooses to find an alternative course, you know, and refuses to get
bogged down
or miserable.
Yeah.
So what are some of the songs that best represent your journey to recovery, the songs that you've written since your illness that best represent that?
Can I make a suggestion from your latest record?
Yeah.
Forsooth.
Oh, yeah.
That's really one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I ripped off the Velvet Underground.
You were a fan of Velvet Underground at the time.
Yeah. Mm. And it's a simple song and it works.
It's about waking up in a good mood and being...
positive.
Grateful to be alive. It has a refrain. It's yeah. I feel alive and I feel reborn.
Yeah.
Your memoir, Falling and Laughing, is named after Edwin's debut single.
That's right.
It has a strange and meaningful resonance now, don't you think?
It does. I mean, we're fortunate in the way we are together. We've got quite a prickly relationship. It's funny, we do have a shared sense of humour, and so even from the very early days in hospital, we could laugh, you know. We did laugh, and we've always laughed at the peculiarities of life or characters that cross your path in the course of a day or revisiting old stories. And so there was a lot of laughter, there really was, throughout this weird journey, as they say nowadays, that we've been on. There was a lot of laughter, wasn't there?
Yeah. You know? Yes, there was. And there still is.
There still is.
Edwin Collins and Grace Maxwell, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn.
Edwin Collins and his wife and manager, Grace Maxwell, who's documented their recovery journey together in her memoir called Falling and Laughing, The Restoration of Edwin Collins. Edwin Collins' new album is called Understated. Details are on the All in the Mind website from abc.net.au/Radio National. While you're there, leave a comment about anything raised in today's program, and you can catch up on any episodes you've missed from there too. Thanks to producer Diane Dean and sound engineer Louis Mitchell. I'm Lynn Malcolm. Join me again next week at the same time. And now I'll leave you with Edwin Collins and his track, Forsooth. Are the few alive? Are the few
ears on Sundays. RN presents two innovative new programs.
Radio Tonic, a heady mix of fiction, essays and drama. 3 p.m.
And then listen to this.
While Soundproof at 8 p.m. is a weekly portal into radio art, soundscapes and performance.
Take a closer listen. Radio Tonic and Soundproof. We're at the RN homepage.